Once again to the dining table, to the place where angels feed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Where we get our strength, where we get our life, where our sustenance is. Without this, we would die. So feed us, Lord God, we pray. Feed us as you feed the heavenly host. Feed us, Lord God, and quicken us with your spirit. And deliver us from every evil, that we might overcome in the dark days ahead. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles with me, please, to Ephesians. Chapter 6 and we start at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Yes.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praise God. We were talking about the warfare that we undergo. And it is no secret that war is declared against the church and against all those who love God.
Amen.
All the natural world seem to be geared against Christianity, and even the laws of the nation are getting more anti-God than before.
Yes, that's right.
Therefore, we must put on the whole armor of God. I had a friend who, he was in the Korean War long ago, and a bullet hit his helmet off his head. And he made the mistake to get up out of the trench to reach for his helmet. Mm-hmm. And they shot him right above his heart. Bullet traveled down his back and came out through the back. He lived. But I always thought that to be in battle half armored, it's you're always in danger. Mm-hmm. In other words, his helmet was designed to protect his head. The breastplate of righteousness is designed to protect the delicate organs of the body. And God has designed something to protect every circumstance that will come against you. Things that are coming to me, I want to just mention to you. The Bible tells us, and we know, that God gives certain gifts in the body. The gift of tongues, prophecy, prophetic gift, and things like that are given to the church to make the church strong, to protect us. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Sometimes a word of prophecy saves your life. Mm-hmm. Somebody brought a word and it saved your life. But then, that's the very area in which Satan is beating the church at this time. Because wherein there should be prophecy, there is divination.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if you realize it. And as I said yesterday, divination in the church is the fault of us, our fault. If we were walking with God, the devil could not come in here and tell us anything.
Amen.
And we believe it. We would have seen him. We would have the spirit of prophecy would overcome the spirit of divination in the church.
Yes.
But we have sat down many years with divination and thinking that it is prophecy. Mm-hmm. Amen. Right now, some of the biggest churches, some of the biggest organizations that are teaching and preaching, it's not God. It's being run by devils. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Now, I'm not saying you are bad. I'm saying I have been responsible too. And unless God did something drastic, I would not have known. You know what I mean. The case with Paul Cain, God revealed to me it was of the devil. The other brother that attacked me because I know the gift of God that God has given me, and he comes to tell me I'm of the devil, I said, thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Because that's the only way that I would discern him. Amen. You understand me. Then, the right now, you have men like Benny Hinn. You know, sometimes we don't call names. But if you don't call names now, these people are going down to hell.
That's right.
The man doesn't know Jesus.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
He's working with another spirit, and all the church sit down and enjoy him. Mm-hmm. Isn't somebody going to say something? Mm-hmm. They don't know. They are working with another spirit You are supposed to be able to discern the spirit, and the church should rise up and deliver those people who are in bondage, sitting down night after night, day after day, listening, eating the food from hell, the devil's food. I am saying, brethren, that the God has put the gift in the church, that the gifts of the spirit should deliver us from the darkness that is coming down upon the church. God said the time would be so dark that never before was any time like this, and never again will be. Because darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But God said he shall arise upon his people as a light.
Hallelujah.
Don't you understand? When in Joel we were told that there was such darkness. But he said they're like the morning upon the mountains. A people, a strong people will come forth in the Lord. I am crying out from the depths of my soul that you might understand that we are supposed to hear God. Mm-hmm. He said, my sheep,
hallelujah,
hear my voice.
Amen.
My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I come from a place where they worship the devil, and they say it is God they are worshiping. At one time, we used to call it, in Jamaica, we used to call it Pocomania. Little madness. Pocomania. The people would tie their head and they would jump and dance and grunt and they prophesied. I remember very well that one night my mother and us as children went into this Pocomania meeting because, you know, it was like entertainment. And she and she was very inquisitive. She wanted to know everything that's going. So we went into the Pocomania meeting. And the moment we went in, they grabbed her. And they spinned her around, and they had her going around. And they said, they prophesied that her father was in danger. That night, he was driving along in the darkness, bad weather, and the hillside broke down into the train line. The engine jumped over and it fell on the side. And he wasn't hurt. He was pulling freight cars and there was a wreck, but he wasn't hurt. But they prophesied it in the meeting. Now tell me, if somebody prophesies something right, does that mean he's of God? It is the Spirit that prophesies that matters. For the Spirit of God is given to the church to profit with all. So then when the Spirit of God prophesies to you, brother, it must profit you, lift you up in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Amen. If I tell you, you are going to die tomorrow, I don't know if that would be helpful to you. You see what I mean? And there are prophets, there is the spirit of divination. Hmm. But I tell you how strong and powerful they are. That the church of God, the body of Christ, has to be in order to be able to discern them. The brethren were preaching Acts, we're reading from Acts now. And there was a man in the midst, Elymas, who was a sorcerer. Mm-hmm. But he said he was saved. So he was in the middle of the church. And they did not discern him until Paul went there. Yes. And when he went there, he discovered him. And said, you are in the gall of bitterness. Mm-hmm. And the man bowed before him and asked for mercy. But don't you understand what I'm saying? The iniquity is so great in the church that it has deceived the whole system. that we hardly know now, right from wrong, God from the devil, good from evil. God is speaking to you as a church. He said, this church must overcome all this. We are being designed by God. We are not yet finished, you know. We are being created. We are being created. We are being designed by God to overcome all principality and all power. Do you know that the devils have to learn manners from you? They have to learn God from the church. Let's read that. Where is that in? It's in, we look.
Ephesians 3.
Ephesians
3 and
here. And to make verse 9 and 10. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent Jesus created all things to the intent, with the intention that now unto the principalities, mean to say the devil princes, all the principalities and the powers in heavenly places might be known by the church.
Yes.
The manifold wisdom of God. God has given you the power to teach the spirits, to teach them who God is.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And as I say, when certain spirits came against us and we were able to defeat them, that they were taught, I bet you they never go and attack another Christian, amen, carelessly. Because they were taught the manifold wisdom of God. I remember a man coming into the church in Jamaica, and he declared that he was going to kill us. And he selected 7 of us to be killed. And he said he was going to kill me first. And I did not pay any attention to him. We went and we prayed and we trusted God. And the night when I went in to the my bedroom, I noticed that there was no wall in the room. I was looking outside. I went, there was nothing there. But then the roof was still up. So I realized that God had lifted me up into a higher dimension for a reason. Immediately the knowledge came to me, attack. There is some spirit coming in here to attack you, and God is giving you the power to deal with him. You see, God is always equalizing the battle. He's not going to allow a spirit to come upon you that you have no power to overcome. And so, as it happened, I've told the story so often that you know it by heart. The thing came in to the yard, and it was a thing so tall, about 9 feet tall, and it was it was like a man, but the face was disfigured, and it looked around and like it was smelling to find me, and I did one stupid thing. You hear me? Learn. I did one stupid thing. Go enter into a battle with a devil. First thing you must do, cover yourself with the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Don't feel that you are able to attack him.
Amen.
You are not able to attack a devil because he is spirit and you are flesh. We are spirit, soul, and body anyhow. But your spirit, you are not pure spirit. You have a body that can be attacked. And I should have called upon the name of God to cover me. What I did was to call to him. Rebuke him. When I rebuked him, brethren, He came through the wall like lightning. He struck me, knocked me over on the bed, got on top of me. And God is so good, and God is so merciful. Jesus jumped in the bed right beside me. Touched me on the shoulder. Don't struggle. I said this before in previous, but I'm giving you the details. Don't struggle, he said. This is not a natural battle. It's a spiritual battle. And then I saw the cross and the blood, and the thing was thrown off. But what happened? The man who sent it died. Just got a blow. Nobody knew what hit him. He didn't know what hit him. He died. And that battle went on because somebody else took up the battle. He also died. Another man took up the battle. He got crippled. And here it is. The man who got crippled, Mavis was telling you the other night, he came and begged, please, please help me, please. He knew what he was doing. We laid hands on him, prayed for him. His arm came back up because it was all withered up. But I am just telling you all this because you have not had this kind of a battle here. But the battle here for you is more subtle.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Demons don't walk about and hit people about like. It's more subtle.
Yeah.
So you'll get an accident out on the road. Or he will do something else. Amen. And so, I am. We wrestle not. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against princes and their polities, the area of their labor. Like that, they're what you call their kingdoms. We are wrestling against kingdoms. Kingdoms of darkness. Amen. You know, first thing you do when you're going into a battle, you must check on your weapons, your power. Who is with you?
Yeah.
What is your power? Amen. Then you must know what is the power of the enemy. What is bringing against you? Amen. Now, in the realms of God, let's take who are with us first. In the realms of God, we have Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of our souls. And we are being made to be like him. Everything that God allows to happen to you, it's to bring you into a conformity. Change your form. To bring you into a form more like Christ. Now, we'll deal with that afterwards. Then you have the Holy Ghost. Amen. He says, I will send you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Amen. Now, the Spirit of truth, or the Holy Ghost, is now no longer outside of you, but inside of you. Okay, I'm going to deal with that, so I leave that a while and go on. Then he said, you have the blood that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel.
Yes.
Hmm? Now, no force on earth, no force in hell can come against or prosper against that array of equipment that God has given you.
Amen.
And so Jesus, when he was about to go, he said, all power is given unto me. in heaven and on earth. And he said, now I command you to go and preach the gospel. When you go to preach the gospel, you have the power of Almighty God behind you and with you. You should not fear. Now, who do we have against us? We have Satan and his hosts. Now, the hosts of Satan are a group of angels that God had created who were in the second echelon of heaven, or realm of heaven. Now, when we talk about the second realm of heaven, we are talking about an area of power that you and I have no real understanding. But you can understand how powerful it is when a devil can disrupt the whole world at the same time. So you must understand the kind of power he has. Now, he would have no power against you had Adam not sinned. For in righteousness is the secret of our power.
Amen.
Now, you remember what happened with Balaam and Barak. Balaam is a prophet of God. In those days, God didn't come into men, he fell on them. Amen. You know, that's the difference between the old time prophet and the prophet now. The old time prophet, the Spirit of God came over him. He couldn't help himself. He just had to say what the Spirit made him say. When the Spirit lifted, then he was free. And he was normal, back to the same normal man he used to be. But now, the Spirit of God is in you. Amen. And guess what? The power, the might, the Spirit of God is now controlled by you.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You see the difference? Now God has set man free by giving him the power within himself, so that the Spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet.
Yeah.
Not so with the old time prophet. He couldn't help himself. Now, this is where our power lies. So then, the secret of our power is in righteousness. And if you are a prophet of God and you go into sin, do you know that you still prophesy? You are prophet of God and you go into sin, you prophesy, but God withdraws from you and you get the spirit of divination. So then the spirit of divination is prophesying like the Spirit of God. And unless you have discernment in the church, you cannot. Now, Satan found out, therefore, that he had lost. Because Calvary and the blood of Jesus Christ gave us the power over the power of the enemy. And Jesus said, I gave you power over the power of the enemy. And he found out that he had lost. So what did he do? He joined the church. Oh yes. He lost, so he joined the church. And so we had Satan in the church. Now, let us take a picture that you might understand. The Old Testament, God showed four beasts. Four beasts. And the four beasts, don't call them beasts, call them living creatures. The four living creatures were joined, like my hand joined with his hand, and his hand joined with four of us, joined together like this. But we were moving together. and they had wheels in the middle of the wheel on both sides. And wherever these wheels move, the creature would move. Cut out the mystery. That is a picture of the soul. That's a picture of the soul. The soul has mind, emotions, will, desires. All four move together. You think something and you have an emotional feeling towards it. You desire something and you put a will to get it because you desire it. And so therefore, this thing, but then it had the wheel. What is that wheel outside? A wheel in the middle of the wheel. You remember that? The wheel in the middle of the wheel. It is the Spirit of God. Amen. Jesus Christ says, I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Wheel in the middle of a wheel. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and you in me.
Amen.
See, so it's not just wheel in the middle of the wheel, but wheel, the Old Testament picture, the wheel comes now in the middle of the soul. So it is wheel in wheel in wheel. Our soul in wheel. So when you get into Christ, Christ is into you. And Christ is in the Father, and you in Christ, and Christ in you. That means to say it's no longer a trinity that are foursome. You have become part of the God function. Huh? Now, all right, here we are then in this association with God, which is our strength. Amen. Now, the spirits that fell from the second realm of heaven with the great power, and they pulled down with them some of the spirits from the third realm, and they are now against us, fighting against us. But God has given us strength because we now have different classes of angels fighting with us. Oh, yes. We are not alone. Amen. I'm going to give you an idea. Abraham was sitting in the tent door one day, and he saw three men. Walking men coming towards him. Immediately realized it's God. So he went and he bowed before them. And he asked them to come in. And he asked them to stay with him a while. And he asked them to eat. And he rushed out, got one of his young men, killed a calf, and prepared them nice meat and brought it before them. What did the scripture say? They ate. Angels eat food. They ate the food that was prepared. They ate the calf that was prepared by, you know, Manoah was at the threshing floor. And an angel came to his wife. And she said, wait, let me get my husband. She was a smart woman. Don't deal with any spirit alone. Get your husband. Because, you know, if Adam was with Eve would not have been deceived. Amen. Anyhow, let's not get into that too much. Eh? Hallelujah. Eve, beware of deception. Amen. Now, when Manoah came, the first thing Manoah said, let me get you some food. The angel said, okay, get the food, but I won't eat. Do you remember that? Another class of angels. Amen. Do you know that the brothers and sisters who die and gone to heaven are part of the angel group in the third realm of heaven?
Hallelujah.
Do you know they are part of the group of angels? Do you know they're actively participating in our fight? Amen. No, prove it now. You know, this brother I saw one man put on the internet that I'm preaching all kind of wild things about spirit going through walls. Amen. But look, every word I say, the Spirit is bringing it to me while I'm saying it. I have no plan just to tell you. Amen. So, the Spirit of God is showing us our strength. The brothers and sisters who have passed on and gone are with the Lord, fighting with us. Scripture flashed before me now. The 40th verse in Hebrews chapter 11. Read that for me, somebody. Read. David, others, come on.
God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
God having provided better for us than for those who passed on, that but they cannot be perfected without us. Why? Well, the battle has to be won by us. Because many of our brothers, all of our brothers who have been passed on, they have been beaten by devils, demons. They have been beaten by demons and they didn't conquer all those demons. And God is preparing a people to conquer all the demons.
Amen.
But those brothers have a part in it. Well, read the first verse in 12. Read the first verse in 12.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us.
So then, we have brethren in the Spirit, witnessing our warfare. Every time you fail, you let them down. Every time you conquer one of those devils, that's you to beat them. Heaven rejoice. Aha! We got him. Don't you understand? here is a devil beating up my grandfather. And he beat him till he died. And my grandfather, and my father, and my uncle, they never conquered this devil that was an ancestral spirit in the family. Hallelujah! Oh, yes. My brothers and myself, we used to boast. Yes, we can't be beaten because we are so and so and so and so. Amen. Hallelujah. Half French and half African. They can't beat us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every time you do that, you encourage the demons that have beaten up your family. Yes, when in time you boast of what you are, I'm an Italian, and so, I am a German. Every time you boast of that, you are encouraging the demons that have oppressed your family for ages. Hallelujah! And we used to boast. Hallelujah. But guess what? When I got saved, I thought, boy, I got it now. All my troubles are over. I'm just wonderfully saved. I did not know that lurking deep down, somewhere there in the soul, Hallelujah. In my emotional compartments, there was a devil of violence still lingering there. But I tell you what, I had some signs, you know, had some signs of it. I love to see boxing. Yeah, used to box it. Love to see the boxing. Love to see them bobbing and waving. Love to see them throwing. Ah, yes. And they were hurting one another. Yeah, they love to see the wrestling and the things like that. Aha. That means Mr. Devil is still lurking there. All right. Well, it so happens that God is going to get that devil out of me. Amen. And I am praying and begging God to get the devil. But, you know, I didn't know he was still there. What happened to me then? One day, we were on the farm. And there was all the horses there, the officers, as we were, you could take a horse and go ride out in the evening if you wanted to go any place. So you just go to the stable and say, well, I want to get that horse ready for me. And so we'll go riding. So I took this horse this evening and went out with the horse. And then coming back, this man was blind, mad. He's a horse. He does the horse. He rides all the while. And he come and start cursing me. And when he started cursing me, brethren, to my great surprise, the old-time devil that used to bother me stopped bothering me. Amen. And I felt, you know, my ears start getting hot. And I start to tremble. I said, wait, what's going on here? Remember, I don't know I'm mad now. But the guy said to me, you step down off that horse. Just step down here and see what I do to you. My God. Then I remember my days of fighting. And I remember that little man, I could just pick him up and tear him to pieces. And I started trembling. What do you think I did? Come down off the horse? No, sir. I wouldn't move. The only thing I could do to save myself that day was not to move. If I'd come down off the horse, I wouldn't be able to help myself because the devil gave me a command and I was going to obey. Once you obey him, you're through.
Yeah.
I didn't move. And he cursed and cursed until he left me there. And I just sat down together. And then I came down off the horse. I rushed into my room and said, my God, I thought you had delivered me. What's going on here? You know, I thought you had delivered me, Noah. And brethren, I tell you, I fasted and prayed. Fasted and prayed. Oh, God, I'm still had the devil in me. You know, some Christians don't know that they have devils. Listen, brethren, a Christian has the power to have any devil he wants. You can have any devil you want. But a devil cannot have a Christian. Come on now. In other words, if a devil has you, then you can't help yourself. You just let loose while you can't help yourself. Like it used to be when we run down the street fighting. We couldn't help ourselves. But as a Christian, you have the power to say no. You have the power to say no to the devil.
Yes.
He doesn't own this body.
Hallelujah.
You can't tell me. But then sometimes we give way. Now, so you can give way if you want to. That's why I tell you now, remember, the spirit of the prophet is now subject to the prophet. You are now the boss. Now, it so happens then that I fasted and prayed. And the truth is, you don't know when the devil left. You are praying, oh God, have mercy upon me. Oh God, forgive me of this devil. You know, it might be a devil of fornication. Some people get so involved with pornography and fornication, you have to fight like a beast after you're saved to get rid of the thing.
That's right.
Yes. And I decided that I kept on fasting and praying. And so I was now the head in the office there. Accountant, and they hired a new young fella to assist me. But the fella came in and he was so careless, and he started making mistakes. Everything he did, I had to do it over, and so on, so on, so. And you know, we're dealing with millions and millions of dollars, and we have to. The agricultural officers have to be paid, and the people have to be paid for planting this and that and the other. And you have to have a big sheet like this with millions of dollars cross-checked, dumped up and down. And in those days, we didn't have even the computers like you have. You computer, you put the thing there, and the computer adds it up for you. No, sir, you had to add. Hey, man, and I used to add. And to have this young man give him a job. I said, Billy, listen, you have to do better. Everything you do, I have to do it over. You cannot continue like this. You have to get a hold of yourself and double check what you're doing. And I said it to him, the boss talking to his worker. I didn't expect him to be mad over it. So I put back down my head, was right. Suddenly, I saw a fist coming into my face. And because, of course, you know, I was used to fighting, I was able to jump backwards, a chair fly out from behind me, and he missed. And they came down on me with both fists. Lord have mercy. I said, oh God, help me, don't let me hit him. And I am backing up, and he is throwing his punches at me. And God was good to me that day. I couldn't hit him. I could not lift my hands to hit him. And I after that, I still said that I used the science of boxing to prevent him hitting me. Because when he struck at my face, I would move, and I'd bob, and I'd weave, and he'd strike, and I'd miss. He'd make him miss, and finally, he gave me a cross, and cut from this side to the other side, and I just stood like this, and he fell. I didn't touch him. He just hit me, and I didn't. And he fell, and then he got up and walked to his seat, and I started laughing. The first in my life that I've ever refused a fight.
Hallelujah.
And the first that I've ever felt good, and I started laughing. God Almighty delivered me that day.
Amen.
I was delivered from the spirit of violence. Praise be to God. And I'm telling you, brethren, you have to work hard at it.
Amen.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Amen.
It was not that young man fighting me. It was the spirit of violence that he had in him that he came. And and the devil used him. Now, the Lord is saying to us that we must use all the tools that God has given us.
Amen.
The helmet of salvation.
Yes.
The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Yeah.
Yes. You should have the Word of God playing in your car.
Yes.
Amen. I've heard some brethren have rock music playing in their car.
Yes.
rock music is from hell. Amen. I don't know if they rock in hell, because it would seem to me that hell is such a dreadful place that they don't have time to dance. But devils seem to make people dance. And I am telling you, brethren, we need to have the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, loins girded about with truth. Now, there's so much error going around that the children of God can only be delivered by the word of God. Amen. Because devils now, remember I told you Satan joined the church. And he's a bishop. You know. And he, oh yes, he's a bishop. Yeah, because here you have men of God who preach to us in Tulsa. I remember the days when I used to preach with some of these big, mighty men of God. And they are good men. Good men. To this day, they are good men. But they have all failed God. I mean, if a man of God is going to leave Tulsa and fly to Rome and go and kiss the ring of the Pope, he's a backslider. Yes, he has backslidden from God for kissing the ring of the Pope, says to you that the Pope is Christ. That's what it says. The Pope is Christ. Vicarius Filii Dei. I remember when the Pope came into New York, a man ran before him, and all the bishops of all the churches were there waiting to greet him, and the man said, "The vicar of the Son of God." It's just another way of saying Christ is here. Amen. Now, if you say that, if you kiss his ring, you have denied Christ.
That's right. Man.
The action in itself is a denial of the blood of Jesus Christ. Wherewith you were sanctified. Amen. If you come before the people and said, "Well, I need." I need so many million dollars. You know, and brethren, you plant a seed here. If you plant a seed with a dollar, $1,000, that seed will grow and you will be enriched by the seed and start using the word of God to deceive people to get money. Mm. You're backslidden from God.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, yes. I've been listening to one of the preachers, and he was bringing a good word. He was bringing a good word about the seed, and at the end of it, he turned it off to money. Mm-hmm. Sure. Amen. The seed was turned off to money. You plant so much with me, and you get back so much. Hey, if you give me, now come on now, if you give God so much, with the intention of getting back so much. Is that a gift of God? Yeah. Would God bless you for that? That's a lie. Yeah. Brethren, those of you listening over the internet right now, I am telling you in the name of Jesus Christ that the men who are preaching on TBN and are saying that you must plant a seed with them and the seed is so much X amount of money, to bring forth so much to you afterwards. It is a lie. It is a deception. Because if you give God it with the intention of getting back from him, you are not giving according to the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I am Messiah. So your lines girt about with truth. Amen. And I'm telling you, and you know, the one that blesses me is your feet shod with the preparation. It's not just, it's a preparation. It's like a mixture that God makes, the preparation for you to walk in the Spirit. Amen. For you to walk in the Spirit, it's not an easy thing.
Amen.
For you are spirit, soul, body. The only way man contact God is by the spirit. So your spirit may contact with his spirit, and that tells you that you are a son of God.
Thank you,
Jesus. Amen. Now when your spirit is contacting another spirit, it is telling you that you are not a son of God. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.
Yeah.
Don't you understand, brethren? And so out of this confusion, God is bringing forth a church. God is bringing forth you, a people. God is bringing you, because many of us are coming out of these churches, and we have heard these men preaching, and we have suffered under them, and we have been milked, and every one of them is a millionaire.
That's right. Ouch.
Every one of them is a millionaire, and all those people who are giving them in order to receive some more are not rich. Amen. Well, somebody say, don't criticize. Brother, I'm not criticizing. I am just telling you, escape for your lives.
Amen.
From the evil doctrines that have been preached in Tulsa and in TBN and spread all over the world. So many radio stations, so many television stations to bring men into conformity with satanic teachings.
Hallelujah.
For yeah. Satan has joined the church, and his duty is just to twist it a little bit.
Amen.
Amen. I never forgot one thing happened. The brother in Prague, he didn't know whether this doctrine was right or not. He was a little bit confused. And so he walked out into the woods. Amen. When there was a break, he walked out into the woods. And a man came right up to him. He met a man in the woods. And the man put his finger. If you want to preach, it is all right with me. If you want to be a pastor, it is all right with me. But if you join this group, I'll kill you. And the man disappeared. Whew! What a blessing. Now, why would Satan believe he could get away with a thing like that? The moment he told an intelligent man that, that would tell him, well, this must be the real gospel. If devil can tell me that he'll kill me if I go along with these people, then it must be the real gospel. And I'm telling you the truth, brethren. I received the gospel, not of man, but of the Spirit of the living God. You should know that I had no idea of Christianity. No idea, nothing at all. I was just a sinner without any, conscience of God or righteousness. And that I went to kill myself one day and put the gun on the bed, took out the shot. I wanted to put in the shot. It's at 6 o'clock. And something said to me, why don't you walk outside and have a last look around? Amen. I went outside and I saw a lady sitting on the porch, and I couldn't pass her. Something was drawing me to her. So I went up to her and I said, I understand that you're a Christian. She said, yes. I said, then how could you be a Christian and so many people are dying around you and you never yet tell us anything about this Christianity? And I said, what kind of Christian you are? I mean, I just tore her to pieces. The poor sister started weeping. She had no defense. She started weeping. But in the midst of our tears, she challenged me. No, a madman like I was to challenge me was really something that I'd have to take up that challenge. I had an appointment to go kill myself, but I had to take up the challenge. I challenge you. You go back into your room and you tell Jesus, tell God, that I say that he will save you by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I said, well, it's kind of nonsense, that, but I think it was a formula. So I said, all right, let me go out and use this formula to see what will happen. So I went into the room, knelt down before the God, and said, God, Mrs. Renford says that if I ask you to save me by the blood of Jesus, you will do it. I said, well, I would like to be saved by the blood of Jesus, having no idea of what I was talking about. And then when I got up, I couldn't use a gun anymore. That's the first symptom. I felt funny. Something starts getting wrong around here. And then, you know, I can't understand this. Get confused. Then it went on until God showed me that it was he. And the excitement, something started happening inside. I felt like I wanted to cry out, to shout out, to say something. I didn't know what to say, what to do. So, and then if I went on with anything that was unusual in the room, the other men would come out and take some bull rope and tie me up and carry me off because they would think I'm gone crazy. And so I had to start move around the room like this. You know, to see if I could hold on this thing. Man alive. But then I said to Jesus, all right. If you are God, meet me tomorrow morning. No, it was by this time, all this operation went through the whole night. By this time it was morning, I had to be at work at 8 o'clock. I said, meet me at 4 when I'm off work. Brethren, I'm not lying to you. I went in about a couple minutes before 4 because I got my desk cleaned up. There was no other appointment for me and I cleaned up my desk and I slipped out of the office. Into my room, grabbed my Bible, sat down with it, and a man came through the door at 4 o'clock sharp. And when he came through, I was so excited. Immediately, he was standing behind me. And he started speaking. And his voice just calmed me down. It just calmed me down. I was calmed down. And the beauty of it, the glory of God began to... He talked to me and he talked to me and he showed me every scripture that I thought of, all the things, you know, that I thought mistakes in the Bible. I said, Lord, I heard that there are 3,000 mistakes in the Bible. Could you show me where the mistakes are? He said, none. There are no mistakes in the Bible. And I can tell you that God told me that there are no mistakes in the Bible. Now, after that, I said, all right, then, Lord, what about out of my belly shall flow rivers of living waters? Is something going to happen that out of the belly will flow these rivers? He said, no. That was speaking of the Spirit. Turned to Zechariah, and he showed me that out of the temple, and he said, your bodies are the temple of the living God. I said, amen. All right. When it starts slipping away from me, I don't know if I got tired but I ran out of questions anyhow. And he started slipping away from me. And I said, Jesus, tomorrow at 4. And he was gone. I jumped up and looked around. Remember now, 4 o'clock in the evening. I looked at the clock, 1 o'clock. It was 1 in the morning. I had stayed there for 9 hours And it looked like 15 minutes. Amen. Now, I'm telling you how I got my gospel. The next day he came back. And for 7 months, Jesus Christ came into my room and taught me. Now, I, not being a church person and not knowing anything about church, felt that this was the way that God did with everybody. So, I came out to preach, feeling that everybody got Jesus coming into their room and talking to them. Amen. And I remember the first message I ever preached in my life. The same sister said, "All right, let us have a meeting at my house." God told me to go. I went to the meeting, and the place was packed right out. Because remember now, we are in a farm community where we were experimenting on plants and animals. And it was out in the boons. And so everybody on the farm came because they heard of this thing that's going on. And when they came in, and I was called to give the message. Never been in a gospel meeting in my life. Don't know what to do. But God said, "Hey, I'll tell you what to do. You just go." And so I went up, and I didn't know. I said, "Lord, now what happened?" He said, "Open your mouth and I'll fill it." So I opened my mouth. You know, how childish it can be, yet that's all I could do. The moment I opened my mouth, somebody whispered in my ears. He said, "Tell them your testimony." So I begin to tell them what happened to me. Amen. And when I had finished, I didn't know what else to say now. And he didn't say anything. But the lady of the farm, that is the senior agricultural officer's wife, an Englishman and his wife, the woman screamed. Oh Lord, God can use these women. Hallelujah. The woman screamed. And when she screamed, she was like, "Where's brother?" She fell on her knees. And she walked, she ran on her knees up to the altar. Now that kind of a manifestation, to have an English woman who was the head of all the farm, to behave like that, I mean, that brought the house down. And she came and she said, "I must have it, I must have it, I must have it." And she raised her hand and she was the first one to be blessed and saved, and everybody else. And the whole house was saved that night. And God started his business. And brethren, miracles upon miracles. There was no miracle I'd never seen. Everything happened. Amen. Everything happened. Broken bones were put together. Dead raised. Mad people brought in chains. They were loosed. And that's how. I'm just giving you an idea why I'm preaching the gospel to you. And the kind of preaching that I have. And he said, whenever you get before the people, you just open your mouth. No, I don't open my mouth. I open my mind and the Spirit of God begin to flow. And that is why you are here today. So brethren, you can question me any amount you want to question me. If you question me a question that God doesn't answer, I tell you I don't know. Amen. Because when you question, very often the Spirit of God will give me the answer inside my mind. But now, let's go back to the basic thing here. Okay, we'll soon talk. What time you have your next meeting, brother?
Be 7 this evening.
7 this evening. So then we can go to about 5-ish.
Yeah.
Good. All right. So praise be to God. Brethren. So yes, let's go back on this one thought. The Spirit the soul and the body. The spirit is in contact with the spirit of God. Your soul is in contact with your spirit. Now remember, high spirit, God, fill everything. Then Jesus Christ, he took the seed out of himself and made a man. And Jesus Christ came to touch us, to be with us as part of us. And then there is the Holy Spirit, God in Christ, in the Holy Spirit, in your spirit. So when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, God is in your spirit, nowhere else. That's why a man who is baptized in the Holy Ghost can sin. If the Holy Ghost had filled his soul, he'd be gone. He wouldn't be a man. He would move like a spirit. He would act like a spirit. So your soul, Jesus came to save your soul. Save your soul from what? Save your soul from being human. Hallelujah. So we are migrating from being humans to being sons of God.
Amen.
Can you understand? So it's not a thing that happens, boom, one time. It's a process. And the thing will progress according to how you allow it. It said, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lift up ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Now believe me, brethren, that you are going to have as much God in you as you want. You are going to have as much Christ in you as you want. If you will not allow him in the secret chambers, he will not come in. I want you to search yourselves. There are some spirits that have bothered your family. Look back at your family and see what happened to your great grand aunt. See what happened to your so-and-so. And see what has happened in them coming right along. And know, therefore, the type of spirits that attack you. When you know that, then you are able to fight them. Because there are some dark corners, you know, in Ezekiel's temple. We are doing too much, really. In Ezekiel's temple, there are little chambers.
Yes.
Little chambers. And the little chambers are the chambers of the soul.
Yes.
Amen. And you clear out the devil out of one chamber, but yes, there's a bigger devil in another chamber.
Yes.
And there are some chambers that we have, and you dare not leave one empty. The moment a chamber of the soul is cleared out, you must let God come in.
Yes.
Jesus says that the man, the spiritually go thy way, he said. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. For I said, when the evil spirit leaves and goes away, he will get seven devils worse than himself and say, let us launch an attack again upon that soul to see if we can get back in. And he said, if you let him in, he said, the last stage is worse than the first.
Yes.
Oh God, what a wonderful word that we have. It blesses me to know the word of God is everywhere. You know, every side you turn, there's a word for you.
Yes.
Now, that soul, the chambers, I mean, I'm going to close, but I just need a few more minutes. The emotions. Let us take the emotions. The emotions have so many corners.
Oh my.
I was in a fight with a spirit. Jesus came to me and said, I want you to fast 7 days. I was working at the time as an accountant, and I decided to fast the 7 days. Well, partway along the 7 days, I had a vision that I saw the devil in the back of the church, and he called a spirit to him and said, I want you to go and to stick that man. And the spirit came to me, but remember now, I am seeing it. So when the spirit started coming towards me, I would slap him in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, I rebuke you, get out of here. And he clutched his stomach like I had shot him with something. And he was bent over and he ran back to the devil and said, you know, he's hurt. The devil patted him on the shoulder and said, never mind, I will send him a prince. I want you to understand how the devils work. If he send you a spirit and you beat that one, he's going to send you one stronger. So he sent me a the prince. Now this prince started coming up to me, and he was a different person. But when he reached out there, I said, man, I'm going to give him the same treatment that I gave the other. You don't treat a prince like you treat an ordinary tramp. Amen. Amen. You know what happened? By the time he got there, I heard somebody say something about my mother. Destruction. My mother. And listen, let me tell you, you have a problem in your emotional life. Your mother takes a great part. And there was something referred about my mother, and all of a sudden my mind turned to my mother, and he was standing before me. Amen. And the power of God couldn't work on him. I decided, no, I'm going to rebuke him now. But by the time that little slow thought got into my mind, he was gone. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, your emotional life has a great pull on you. Amen. And things that you would not do, you find yourself that you would do them because your child is involved, because your mother is involved, because your brother is involved, because your sister is involved. You see, your emotional life. Someone out there you love, you have a problem. You cannot balance right and wrong because of the attachment, the emotional attachment you have with this woman or with this man. You follow what I'm saying? And so God is saying to us that we need to understand that there are chambers in our soul that need the Spirit of God in there rather than another spirit. You have somebody, he reasons. He will reason everything. Now you know, according to logic, you can prove anything. In other words, you'll make a lie truth. You have to control that spirit that is going to make you argue, reason out the things of God, or reason something. You have got to get a hold of it. In other words, there are, I can't talk about all the chambers, but we'll come back to it another time. The chambers of the mind must be cleansed. We have a little song, Cleanse My Heart, O God, that I might serve you. The chambers of the mind must be cleansed before you can function right. Then it comes to desires. I can't tell you about desires. Let God be in your desires. Let Christ be in your desire. If you desire a house, desire the type of house that will help you to serve God. It must be, and the mind will tell you that that will be the right thing because you are reasoning it. But if you give way to the Holy Ghost will direct you. And so your will, your desires, your emotions must be tuned towards God. God bless you and thank you for listening so diligently. Hallelujah. Yes, sister. Get the mic for her, please. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes.
Okay, while we're talking about this, just a question. Does
your voice a little.
Okay, does, like, the all four parts of the soul, like, yes, say, the mind, doesn't the mind, like, have an emotion and a desire and all that of its own?
Yes,
I mean, isn't there, like, all those four parts are in
the
four parts?
Has four faces, yes.
Right, okay, that's...
Praise God.
What, okay.
We'll touch on that again when we get together. But praise God. I thank you for coming, brethren. Thank you. Thank you very much. Because, you know, God is anointing a certain set of people. It's not, don't have to be many. But the few.
I just had one question. When you were talking, you were saying that the church should rise up and deliver the people that are sitting down listening to the false teachers or messages. My question is,
I didn't get the question right.
Okay. You were saying that the church should rise up and deliver the people, you know, that are listening to the false teachings and messages. My question is, how will the church do that?
Oh, by prayer and by function of the Word of God. It's God who is going to do it anyhow. So you're going to have to pray and just believe God. You know, when I look at the TVN and I look at the people and I see them just given to this thing, I say, oh God Almighty, help them. And I know that God gets into those groups and deliver many, many, many people. So you pray and believe God and He will deliver them. And He will deliver your families too. Amen. Praise God. Cleanse my heart, O God. Make it ever true. In my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Make me and mold.
So grateful.
Amen.
Lord, for the word.
Yes, Lord.
The word, Lord God, makes us clean. Hallelujah. And we thank you, God, for your anointed word that just refreshes our soul, that builds us strong in the spirit.
Yes, Lord.
We pray, God, that we would not lose 1 ounce. Amen. We bind the thief that is waiting at the door to steal the word of God from our hearts and mind. We bind him by the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, arm your church, we pray. Mm-hmm. And let us come up to the armament, O God, that you have placed within our hands, within our grasp, O God, by the Spirit, that we would walk with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Mm-hmm. Shod, my God, on our feet, we'd walk in righteousness. and we would rule in holiness. Hallelujah. With the Word of God, fresh and anointed, O God. Father, help us, O God, to walk in the Word and in the Spirit, that we would wage a good warfare. Amen.
Amen.
And that these powers and these principalities and these strongholds would indeed be torn down by the blood of Jesus Christ, invested in the church of God. Hallelujah. That the church militant, amen, would go forth and take down the powers that be. Amen. Father, we pray for the anointing of God upon the rest of these meetings. Let the anointing of God charge us and lift us, O God, that everyone that leaves here would not leave as they came in. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But
hallelujah.
More change, more likened unto your glory. Hallelujah. More in the image and the likeness of the Son of God. We pray for each one here this day. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.